Right now it is time for Dr. Judy Werpin and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also the book which you can find on Kindle, which is Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book is Before Her Voice Was Still. And here's entertained Jill Goodman. And
what has happened is I have... A carrier pigeon also came from Dr. Werpin. I was talking to Mr. Miles, so I didn't see it. And, you know, the funny thing is I had that exact same thought. So I have absolutely no idea. Was it humor or was that last week?
Well, then, you know, I can't remember what day of the week it is anymore. I'm not the only person whose memory is sort of slipping out of her brain, because there's so little to anchor us to a specific day and a specific time. And I think, in fact, the only thing that really anchors me to any kind of reality is when I look in the refrigerator and realize I don't have any eggs left, or I'm really running low on milk, and how did that really happen? Because didn't I just go to the supermarket yesterday? And I think that's really what I'd sent you.
No, what you really said was we need humor.
I think it's because we are all living in... Because people obviously are not going out to eat who normally would be, and because many of us who COVID-19 would eat maybe one meal at home a day. You know, certainly breakfast was a meal that we did or did not eat at home, but as likely or not, we would have it on the way to work. Once you got to work, skip it altogether. Lunch was something that most people were not eating at home unless on a weekend. You know, you would bring your lunch, or you would go out to eat, or you'd skip it entirely. Have a snack when you got home. And dinner was a meal we talked about many times in the past that oftentimes is ignored because of, you know, late afternoon activities, working late, school requirements, you know, going to school, going to a class at night or a community activity. It was something, a meal you skipped, or you somehow managed to snack your way through the evening hours. And now, Jill, all of a sudden... We're back to the 1950s,
right? Where mothers ended up putting latches on their. I'll never forget Grammy Goodman. You know, basically locked her boys out of the padlocked the fridge.
That's right. You know, you say the kitchen is closed at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night, but the problem is it's not closed, and especially if you have college age kids home now, or your high school kids are home, they obviously are, and you know, this, first of all, there are many more mouths to feed, or many more mouths that want to be fed, and they're eating, or they expect to eat three meals a day. Good grief, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like in the old days. And it's not only a burden on, oh, what am I going to make, but you look at your refrigerator and you think, I just had a delivery. I just went to the supermarket, and I don't have any food left anymore. And I think we're all realizing that, you know, once we stop relying, as so many of us did, on eating outside the home, that the home is, you know, food central. And we not only have to think about what we're going to make, we have to make sure that food is actually in the house. And I was thinking the other day, I was in my supermarket, you know, gloved, masked, with my little Clorox wipes, etc. And I saw a woman next to me buying some black beans, and she had some rice in her shopping basket, and I wanted to go over to her, except I couldn't because of social distancing, and say, gee, that looks like a good thing to feed, because you obviously can feed a lot of people with not very much money, and, you know, it probably was very filling, but, of course, I couldn't talk to her that because we were too far away. But it occurred to me that this really is a time when we have to stop thinking about, oh, I'll just make a grilled chicken breast and some, you know, Brussels sprouts and maybe have a baked potato or rice for dinner, because that doesn't stretch very far, not when you have a lot of people eating in your household and you really want to have leftovers. And you also want to have leftovers that are left over, not when you open the refrigerator in the morning to find out that that carefully planned meal you're going to make for dinner tonight was consumed as a leftover yesterday by somebody in your household, and there's nothing left but a few crumbs in the bottom of a plastic food container.
But it's also it's an interesting opportunity to learn. And we've touched on this, but there's never been any real need for it. Now what we actually do need to do is teach people how to stretch and how those are actually good meals, filling meals. When I say healthy meals, I don't mean to sound like the Food Network. It's like, no, you think about that lasagna, for example. You think about that things that you ordered one serving of or picked up one serving of, and you start realizing that once you know what the components are, you can happily, healthily, and not, you know, and appropriately feed these mouths, because we've got so much more. I have to say, people who are of a certain, have a better handle on it than people who have been basically grub-hubbing their way through life.
That's exactly right. And people whose refrigerators contain no more than beer, you know, and maybe some moldy cheese, right, are suddenly realizing that they can't rely simply on restaurant food. And especially if there's more than one person in the household, they really have to stretch. And I remember, Jill, in the old days, there was some magazine, maybe it's called Parents Magazine. There was some magazine that would give you
Good housekeeping always had one. Family Circle
that
always
was it.
Had
Okay, and so it would start with maybe a roast chicken or a roast in those days. People ate roast for Sunday. And then Monday through Friday, you would figure out what to do with that leftover meat. Presumably, you were not eating large portions of it on Sunday. And it would be, you know, the casserole and the sandwich and the lasagna or the tomato sauce for the spaghetti. But you would eventually maybe make it through 3 or 4 days on the remnants of that roast. And then you would have a vegetarian option, usually maybe even on a Friday or Thursday. And so you would have a way of stretching that food budget. People had a food budget, remember? So that you were not out of food or money by the time the weekend came. And there were all sorts of clever ways of, you know, you take that can of salmon and turn it into salmon cakes. Or, you know, you take the leftover meatloaf and you make it into a sauce for your pasta. But you're mostly eating pasta. And we really have to go back and relearn this.
Yep.
I mean, it's been decades since we've had to worry about how do I make my... I shouldn't say there are a lot of people who certainly are on a budget, and I don't want to minimize that. But the rest of us, we have been sort of negligent. We've been, in a sense, promiscuous with the food that we've been eating, because it really doesn't really matter. Oh, that's left over. Nobody's eating. I'll throw it away.
Yeah, wasting. So there's actually massive opportunity. And I think that what we will do next time is combine what we were actually going to talk about and funnily look at this. Look at ways, particularly because there are some people who, you know, can also use this as a time to eat quite well, feed their kids, and perhaps, you know, health up a little bit.
Exactly. But if somebody just tell me what I should make for supper tonight.
Okay. Baked potato.
I was thinking about that.
Hot dogs and beans.
Mostly beans, though, Mark.
Yes,
mostly beans, though.
That's it. No, rice and blank. Thank you very much, Dr.
Dr. Judy Whitman,
Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy with Food for Mood every Thursday morning right here on Robinhood Radio and on demand, robinhoodradio.com on demand, Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Whitman.